You'll take your Bible and turn to Hebrews chapter 11 this evening. Hebrews chapter 11, and we'll read verse 17 and verse number 18. Usually when we read this passage of Scripture, we just immediately go all the way down through verse 19, but we're gonna stop tonight with verse number 18. And if you'll stand with me for the reading of God's Word, please. Verse number 17 of Hebrews chapter 11. The Bible says, by faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you tonight for your word. And Lord, I pray that, Lord, your Holy Spirit would just take the very words of God and, Lord, just teach us. We'll give you all the glory in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. As we've been looking at Hebrews chapter 11, we came down through verse number 16, and for the last number of verses, it's been in the context of they. They received the promise, and they saw them afar off, and they embraced them, and they declared plainly. They desire a better country in verse number 16. But now in verse number 17, it goes back to a very personal application, a very personal illustration. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried. And, you know, right there in verse number 17, everybody else around him is not part of the equation right now. It's just when his faith was tested by the Lord. When he was given the exam by the Lord. And when we look at verse number 17 and verse number 18, it says this, by faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. But then the next part of the verse really brings out what the Lord would have us to glean from this. And it says, and he that received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. And verse number 18 takes us back to the point of reference that we glean the lesson from. But in verse number 17, it says, speaking of Abraham, not only that he offered up Isaac, but more importantly, there's two things there. He that received the promises. In the previous verses, it said they received the promise, having seen them afar off, were persuaded them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims upon the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that seek a country. And you know, when we read that, sometimes we think that it was a very immediate one point in time reference. Well, they received the promises. They believed them. They were persuaded. They embraced them. They declared it. Took about 30 seconds and we're good to go with a strong faith. But what we see in verse number 17 and verse number 18 is how God, the Lord, brings Abraham to a place of great faith where when he is tried, he's going to pass the test. Because there was so much more at stake in this testing of Abraham than just whether or not Abraham would pass it himself. You know, there's a lot of times where our faith is tested, and when we look at it, we think, well, it's just a personal test for me, and you know, does it really matter to anybody else whether I pass this test or not that God would put before me? Well, this one did. Because this test of Abraham was going to be utilized by God all the way from the time of Abraham all the way down to the coming of Christ. Because it would essentially be a picture, a prophetic picture of God giving his only begotten son, Jesus Christ, on the cross. So just stop and think, if Abraham failed this test, it wouldn't just be another day and we'll retake the test and we'll keep retaking the test that we till we go on. No, it would really, in a way, undermine all of God's prophetic purpose in the Old Testament scriptures. And so this test is vitally important, not only to Abraham, but for God's glory, as he's pointing everything in the Old Testament to the coming of Christ. But there's something else, because this test that, in verse number 70, by faith Abraham, when he was tried, this test, well, it says, after he received the promises, he offered up his only begotten son. You know, when you think of a test, there's numerous things around it. First of all, before you take a test, there's a teacher, there's a student, there's lessons, there's time that passes, and then there's the test and the result, if you will. I just did a quick search online to see what's the greatest length of time that people go through school. And you know, it's, get this, it's in Australia. Do you know that most students in Australia go for 20 years of schooling? Yeah, I quickly said, you got to be kidding me. 20 years of schooling. Can you imagine? 20 years of schooling, right? You know how long Abraham went? 40 years. Probably approximately 40 years of learning about faith before the Lord said, okay, now you're ready to take the test. Now you're ready to stand before the Lord and take the test, and we'll see how the results are. 40 years. That's how long from when he received the first promise, and that 40 years is a approximate number, because as I'll mention in the end, when you get down, it's not really about the amount of years. It's not really about how much time passes, especially in our lives, folks. It's not how long have you been saved. It's not how much time has passed between the time you accepted Christ and the point that you're at today. No, it's how much progress has been made in your life in regard to your faith. Because, you know, I could have spent 20 years in school and come out the same way in as I went in. Because most of the time I wasn't listening. And I know that's different for all of you out there, but, you know, but wasn't that the case a lot of times? You know, you're in class, you are present, you are physically there, but your mind is totally somewhere else. And then there's other times when you're in class and, boy, you're intent, you're listening, and, man, it doesn't take you long to get it at all. It's not the amount of time, but it's the amount of progress that's made in our faith. And so tonight, as we look at this, and when you come down to verse number 17, you know, the preparation had to be that Abraham had to get to the place where he was willing to offer up not only Isaac, but look what it says, his only begotten son. Now stop and think for a minute. Wait a minute. The Bible must be all messed up. How many sons did Abraham have at that point? Two in his eyes, one in God's eyes. That's the difference. And Abraham had to come to the point where the test was, are you willing to give up your only begotten son? You know, that word, it's interesting to note that word only begotten is a word that if I were to ask in a trivia question type of way, how many times is it used in the New Testament, you'd probably think a lot, wouldn't you? Right? You'd think, well, his only begotten son, that's a term we use all the time. You know, it's only used 8 times in the whole New Testament. 3 times, it's 5 times in the New Testament. 3 other times, the Greek word is used, which is not the only begotten, but just in Luke chapter 7, it's the only son. In Luke 8:42, it's the one only daughter. In Luke 9 and verse 38, it's my only child. But the point is, it's not one of two children. It's not one of many children. It's the only child. But when it comes down to the only begotten child, four times in the Gospel of John, once in 1 John chapter 4, always points to Jesus Christ. And then one time in Hebrews chapter 11, because that points to Jesus Christ. And so the whole test of the lesson was, are you willing to offer up not only Isaac, but are you willing to offer up your only begotten son? And you know, it took approximately 40 years for Abraham's faith to grow under the tutelage of the Lord God himself, to the point where he was ready to stand before the Lord and give his oral and pass his oral exam about his faith. And so I want us to see three things tonight, and we're going to go back to the book of Genesis. Go back to Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12, because it's important when you consider the verses that we just read. I believe it's very important to just go through the life of Abraham in regard to the promises that were given to him, because when you come to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7, it says he received the promises. That's not speaking about the whole group of promises that involves the land and his seed. That is specifically speaking more about the continuing promises of God regarding his seed pointing to the Messiah. So just set aside all the promises about the land and all those others, because the lesson is nothing to do with the land, everything to do with his only begotten son. And you'll see that the lesson progresses, and it's just like any course you take. It's like math. You don't start off in math learning calculus, right? You start off learning, well, you don't even start off learning 1 plus 1. You start off learning 0, 1. You start learning that there's some numbers, right? And then someone tells you that those numbers have to go in a certain order. And then someone tells you can put these numbers together. And then someone tells you can take the numbers apart. And someone tells you can mix them all up and try and figure out what X is. And about that point, you say, I'm out of here, right? But, you know, his faith, he had to be taught progressively, and his faith had to be progressively increased with the lessons that the Lord gave him. And so in Genesis chapter 12, we have the first lesson in verse number 1. And here Abraham is 75 years old, and just for reference, and in verse number 1, it says, now the Lord had said. So this is before. The Lord had already said this. The Lord said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house into a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing, and I will bless them that bless thee, curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Now, that lesson would continue in verse number 7. But I want us to go down to verse number, chapter 13. Because here really is the second lesson. The first lesson, let's just put it this way. Point number 1 for you that are trying to take notes is the lesson that involves God's word. All right, this is God's word. The Lord said over and over again, it's the Lord said. Actually, that changes too. There's times when it's the Lord said, then it's times where God said. But it's God's word. This lesson is all about God's word, believing God's word, trusting God's word, clinging to God's word, embracing God's word. So you come down to chapter 13, and we have another class session, if you will, in chapter 13 and verse number 14. And the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art, northward and southward and eastward and westward. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Three times in two verses, now the Lord is mentioning the seed of Abram. And in verse number 16, he says, not only will I give the land to you, but I'll give it to your seed forever. And then the Lord says this, I'll make your seed as the dust of the earth. If the dust of the earth can be numbered, your seed can be numbered. And obviously, it can't be. And so this is classroom lesson number two. But now come down to Genesis chapter 15. All right? And this is after things have happened in Lot's life. But in Genesis 15, look what it says in verse number 1. And notice a phrase there. After these things, events that took place in Abram's life that were important in the progression of his faith and the growing of his faith. All of these things, all these circumstances were part of the teaching experience regarding his faith. But after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision saying, fear not, Abram. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. All right. So and here's classroom lesson number three. And all of a sudden, student raises his hand. Got a question. Don't quite understand. You've talked about the land. You've talked about my seed. You've mentioned it three times. You said you're my shield. I don't have a problem with that. I do have a problem with, I got to get a question about this exceeding great reward business. Hasn't happened. Look what he says in verse 2. Abram said, Lord God, what will thou give me, seeing I go childless? How can you talk, Lord, about an exceeding great reward when my seed, I don't even have seed. I don't even have a child. And the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus. And right here, not only is he asking a question, but right now he's vacillating between trusting the Lord and looking at the way of the world. Because the world would say, well, if you don't have a physical seed, a physical son, a physical heir, then the steward of your house, he's your heir. And Abram said, is this what you mean? You said my seed, but is this? And Abram said, behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And the Lord teaches him a lesson here, brings him along. Behold, notice, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thine heir. In other words, the Lord said, no, that's not what we're talking about. I'm talking about your seed, Abram, your seed. Not your heir, your seed. He that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And then the Lord said this, and he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. And then verse number 6, it says, Abraham got the lesson of the day. All right, he got it. That's every teacher's desire, is that at the end of the day, the light bulb would go on in the student's head and they'd get the lesson. Abram got it. By the word name Abram means the exalted father. And he said, I believe. Okay, I got it. It's not my steward. It's going to be through me, out of my bowels, someone's going to come that will be my heir. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted to him for righteousness. And so, and then you go down in verse number 18, and in that same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, unto thy seed have I given this land, from the river of Egypt and the great river Euphrates. And so that's the first lesson. It's God's word. The Lord said, this is my word, Abram. And Abram says, I got it. Good to go. Got my faith in your word. I believed it. I'm persuaded. I embraced it. I'm going to declare it. But now we got a second lesson that takes place. Because, and folks, this is where we need to begin to really meditate and think and apply it to ourselves. Abram says, all right, I got the lesson. I got your word, Lord. And then he, basically in his mind, him and Sarah said, now how are we going to do it? And the Lord says, not about you doing anything. It's my word. And lesson number two is not only is it my word, but it's my way. This is a big one, folks, because this is the point right here, the lesson right here, that really the Lord had to really work with him to get him to think. This one cost him big time in his faith. You know, there's times where we believe the Lord, but then we want to bring about his word our way. And then we say, okay, well, I made a mistake. Listen, those mistakes, this mistake in chapter 16, think about how many years it took for Abraham to get from this point to Genesis chapter 22. Because I can tell you about how many years it took. It would take, he would be 86 when Hagar would have a son. So 14 and another, probably another 30 years. You realize it would take him 30 years to get back to the real place where his faith was strong enough to pass the test. You see, folks, this is why we need to just fully embrace the promises of God and make sure we don't start looking to bring them about our way. Because in chapter 16, now we have the Lord basically going to teach Abram a lesson. It's my way. It's not your way. It's my way. It's not your way. We do so many things. We want to do the word of God, but we want to do it our way. And the Lord said, no, that's not how it works. It's my word, therefore it's my way. All right? It's like the kid that owns the football. Right? My football, my rules, or we all go home. Right? You remember those days, guys? When some little kid, your neighbor kid, your best friend before the game started, and all of a sudden things aren't going his way and he takes the football and runs home, right? We never let him get all the way home. We'll leave it at there. But anyways, in Genesis 16, look what it says. Look at this, the first word there, now. Now be careful about that, now. All right, you just read that a lot of different ways. Now Sarah, Abram's wife, bare him no children. So what are we going to do? We just going to keep trusting God, waiting upon God? You know, I'll tell you this. Up in Willimantic, we spent a lot of time last year just going and trying to reach people. And now we're seeing growth. And the interesting part is, we're not out there trying to reach people. We're just trusting the Lord, and the Lord's bringing them in. Think about that. That's God says, I'm going to do this my way. If you guys want to be on board with it, it'll be fun, but you keep trying to do it your ways. And, you know, the ways that we tried so many times, no results. And now all of a sudden the Lord's just bringing them in. They're just coming in one by one. But so Abram, his wife says, okay, I've got a handmaid. And we know the story. And but look at verse 15. Hagar bare Abram a son. Abram called his son's name, which Hagar bare, Ishmael. And Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bare Ishmael to Abraham, to Abram. So now, you know, the lesson before, he believed, he got it, he understood it. Class is over. He leaves, and, you know, before the next class, he's forgotten everything he learned. Doesn't that happen too? Christmas break. Teachers say, why did we take a Christmas break? I've got to reteach everything I taught from August through to December. They lost it. Where did it all go? I don't know where it all goes. But you know what? His went too. And he tried it his own way. And now in chapter 17, when Abram was 90 years old and 9, he was 86 when Hagar bare Ishmael. All right? So he's 86, and now 13 years later. 13 years later, the Lord says, okay, maybe now it's time that he'll be able to be teachable again. And the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. And Pastor Donnie mentioned this the other night, but it's interesting that because Abram doubted that God could do what he said he would do, and he went his own way, that now says, Abram, listen, I am the Almighty God. If I said it, I can do it. I don't need you thinking you're more powerful than me and more intelligent than me, trying to do it in your strength, in your wisdom, in your way. Let me do it. I'm the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. And he says, I will make my covenant. But look down at verse number five. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be called Abraham. And the name Abraham means a father of many nations, a father of a multitude. And he says, I will make thee. I will make thee exceeding fruitful. At first, Abram, at first you thought it was your steward, and now you and your wife, you try to do it another way. No, Abram, I'm the Almighty God. I will do it. I will make you fruitful. And I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. And I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee in their generations. And by the way, a new part of this comes into play, which we won't take time tonight. He says, for an everlasting covenant. And now you see that word everlasting over and over again in the promises that God makes to Abraham. To be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. And I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession. And he goes on, but then he comes down in verse number 15. And God said unto Abram, as for Sarah thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarah, but Sarah shall her name be. I will bless her and give thee a son also of her. And we'll just stop there for the sake of time. But he's bringing Abraham along again. Well, in verse number, he says, not only did I say out of your bowels, but it'd also be through your wife, Sarah. You know, Abraham, we finally got this clear. You would think that Abraham would have just said, yes, sir. Yes, Lord, I got it. But look at verse number 18, and this is why I say this choice that Abraham made in yielding to Sarah and having a son of Hagar. Look how much this was a wall. I mean, it was really a wall that was built up, blocking the free flow of his faith. Because the Lord had just said, I will make you exceeding fruitful, and your wife will have a son. And look what Abraham says in verse number 18. Oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. You see, this is, folks, this is how great a hindrance our flesh that would lead us down the wrong path to trying to do God's word our way can really just block the flow of faith, the increase of faith, because now his own flesh and his own mistakes are just holding him back. Holding him back from really trusting God and walking by faith. And God said, Sarah, thy wife shall bear thee a son indeed, indeed. And thou shalt call his name Isaac, and I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him. And so, the lesson goes on, all right? The lesson goes on. And in chapter 18, you know, the Lord just has a review and another lesson. You come down to verse number 14, is anything too hard for the Lord? This is where Abraham was having issues. You know, he'd been looking at the way of the world, he'd been looking at the way of the flesh, he'd been looking at his own self, and he's saying, I just don't see how this can happen. Isn't that how we are many times? We hear the Word of God, we know it's the Word of God, we believe it's the Word of God, but how's it ever going to happen? Really? How's it going to happen? And the Lord said, listen, I said it, and I am the Almighty God, and I can do it. There's nothing too hard for me. And so we have lesson number two, that it's not, if it's God's word, it has to be God's way. Soon as we start thinking our way, man, we are just causing ourselves more problem that is going to cost us time and lack of progress in our faith. And so we have lesson number two. But let's come to lesson chapter three. And in order for that, go to Genesis 21. All right? And here we have a lesson that he had to come to. It's God's word. It's God's way, because it's God's will. Okay? God's word, God's way, God's will. All right? So in Genesis chapter 21, the Lord visited Sarah as he had said. The Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. Wow. For Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age at the set time of which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bare to him, Isaac. You would think at this point that it was settled. Yeah, there's no problems anymore, because you know what? Hey, finally, God did it. He did what he said he was going to do. Right? You would think that at this point, Genesis chapter 22 could happen. Took a number of years again. Took more years before Genesis 22. No, Abraham, you're not ready yet to take the test. No sense putting the test out there on the desk. You're not ready. Because that same mistake that hindered you is still got a hold of your heart. And it's hindering your faith. If the Lord had said in Genesis 21, in verse number 3, if the Lord had said at that point when Sarah had that child, if he had said at that point, okay, Abraham, I want you to take your son, your only son, and offer him up. Guaranteed failure right there. Guaranteed failure. Because he wasn't ready, his faith wasn't ready. And the Lord knew that. The Lord says, we've got to get your faith stronger. It's got to be stronger. Not only stronger, but pure. Let's put it that way, pure. So, verse number 8, the child grew and was weaned. And Abraham made a great feast the same day that Isaac was weaned. And by the way, this is probably in a Jewish custom and Jewish history, this is probably 3 years. So 3 years have gone by. Isaac's 3 years old now. All right? Basically somewhere between 2 and 3 years old. Verse number 9. Here comes the lesson. And Sarah saw, and I want you to notice how this is worded down through verse number 12. And Sarah saw the son of Hagar the Egyptian, which she had borne unto Abraham, mocking. Wherefore she said unto Abraham, Cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, even with Isaac. And then look at verse number 11. The thing, this is what caught me. The thing was very grievous in Abraham's sight because of his son. I just want to stop for a moment and go to Genesis chapter 22 till you see something interesting. It does not say after the passage of time that God did tempt Abraham. Chapter 22 and verse 1, it came to pass after these things. All right? It wasn't so many days or so many years. It was these things. And this was one of those things. This was one of those things that was hindering Abraham from learning the lesson that would help him to pass the test and bring honor and glory to God. This was the thing right here. This was it. You know what it was? Ishmael. Because look what it says. The thing was very grievous in Abraham's sight. Why? Because of his son. His son. You see, Ishmael still had a hold of the heart of Abraham. To the point that it was polluting the purity of his faith in the promises of God. Because in Hebrews chapter 11, go back there just for a minute. You have to understand this. Because in Hebrews chapter 11, it says in verse 17, By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. When it says he that received the promises, all right, that is referring, and it says in whom Isaac thy seed shall be called, it's referring to this specific point in time in Genesis 21, verse number 11 and verse number 12. This is where finally Abraham comes to the place in Genesis chapter 21, where finally he receives fully by faith the promises of God regarding Isaac in light of what God wanted to do. For it says, he's grievous in Abraham's sight because of his son. And notice in verse number 12, notice, it's not the Lord speaking, it's the Lord, but look, it's God, Elohim. What does Elohim mean? Strong and faithful. And God said unto Abraham, Elohim said unto Abraham, strong and faithful one said unto Abraham, let it not be grievous in thy sight because of, notice, never once does God refer to Ishmael as Abraham's son. Now God cared for the individual Ishmael, and he took care of him, and he blessed him, and he made of him a great nation. It's not that God didn't care for Ishmael, but God cared more for his word and his will to be accomplished for his glory, pointing to his son Jesus Christ, than he did about Abraham's concern for his seed, which he called his son. Because look at in verse number 12, God said unto Abraham, Let it not be grievous in the sight because of the lad and because of thy bondwoman. In all that Sarah has said unto thee, hearken unto her voice. For in Isaac shall thy seed be called. And also of the son of the bondwoman will I make a nation, because he is thy seed. You see what the Lord is saying there? He's saying, Ishmael is thy seed. I'm talking about your son. He's the seed of your sin that was in the flesh. He's a son of that bondwoman. But we got a problem, because you're holding on to him. And as long as you hold on to him, then the test that's about in the next few years is going to take place. You're not going to pass. I'm not being glorified. The prophetic picture is not going to be pure. And so he says, also of the son, he says, hearken unto the voice of your wife. Well, what did Sarah say? Look back at verse 10. She said, cast out this bondwoman and her son. In other words, you've got to put them away. And this is what God was telling Abraham, because his faith needed to be pure in regard to offering up his son, his only begotten son. And you know, praise God, Abraham got the lesson. Because look at what it says in verse number 14. Look at. You know, by the way, when we get the lesson of faith, don't tarry. Don't tarry. When God shows you something by faith, don't slow down. Look what it says in verse 14. Abraham rose up early in the morning. Right? You know why he didn't want to slow down? Because you know what? If he had tarried, what would have happened? What might have happened? He might have thought twice about what he was doing, right? Double-minded man is what? Unstable in all his ways. And so he rose up early. Look what it says. And look how it puts. Look how it's put in regard to Abraham. Before it was grievous because it was his son. Now look at it. Abraham rose up early in the morning, took bread and a bottle of water, gave it unto Hagar, putting it on her shoulder, and the child. You see the difference there? No longer is Abraham looking at Ishmael as his son. He's looking at it as a child. And this is all in, folks, this is all in the context of faith in the Word of God to point to the picture of Jesus Christ, putting it on his shoulder and the child and sent her away. And look at verse 15. And look how it's referred to. And the water was spent in the bottle, and she cast a child under one of the shrubs. And she went and sat her down over against him a good way off, as it were a bowshot, for she said, let me not see the death of the child. And she sat down over against him and lifted up her voice and wept. And God heard the voice of the lad. See, it's not about, God still cared about that individual named Ishmael. And as much as Ishmael, and the seed of Ishmael, is so contrary to the things of God, God still loved him and still does love him. They can be saved the same way as anybody else through faith in Jesus Christ. But look at verse 17. God heard the voice of the lad. The angel of God called to Hagar out of heaven and said unto her, what aileth thee, Hagar? Fear not, for God hath heard the voice of the lad where he is. Arise, lift up the lad and hold him in thy hand, for I will make of him a great nation. Verse 20. And God was with the lad. And he dwelt in the wilderness of Paran, and his mother took him a wife out of the land, and he became an archer. But you know, from that point on, he's not referred to as Abraham's son. He referred to as a child, a lad, an individual. But you see, it's in the context of God teaching Abraham about faith. And Abraham learned the lesson. And so, in conclusion, it's this. Go to Genesis chapter 22. Look at verse number 1. And it came to pass. And once again, it's a number of years, because there was another lesson from 22 down to verse number 34 that had to do with the fact that God is everlasting. But it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abram. And said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here I am. Take now. All right, we've got this lesson, Abraham. We've got it. Take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah and offer him there for burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I shall tell thee of. And in Hebrews chapter 11, it says, he that received the promises. It wasn't about all the promises about the land and the kings. And no, it was the promise of your seed, your son, a specific son, your only son, the only begotten son, Isaac. Because in Hebrews chapter 11, look what it says in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 20 or verse number 19 at the end, from whence also he received him in a figure. You see, it was about that only if Abraham passed the test with pure faith that it would really glorify God by pointing to Jesus Christ. You know, here's the lesson, folks. It has to be God's word, and it has to be God's way for God's will to be accomplished. It can't be God's word, our way. It has to be God's word, God's way, His will. And faith, you know, there's a couple of things here. Number one, it's comforting in the fact that Abraham is an example for us, because many times our faith, our journey of faith, goes the same route, right? I'm thankful for a couple things. Number one, I'm thankful God didn't give up on Abraham. God didn't give up on Abraham. God said it's going to take a little time with this guy. Wonder what he says about you and me. But he says, I'm going to just keep working with him. I'm going to keep working with him. You know, you've been with people like that, right? People have been with you like that, right? But here's the thing. It's not about the passing of time. It's about the progress of faith, so that we can be brought to the point where we're prepared, that our faith is prepared for God to be able to use us as a humble, pure vessel, clean in His sight, that's easily used. And that's where God had to bring Abraham to. And so in Hebrews chapter 11, that's why it says, by faith Abraham, when he was tried, not if he was tried, or not that he was tried, but when. It's focusing on the time, when he was tried. He offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son. Why? Of whom it was said that in Isaac thy seed shall be called. And so, folks, listen, let the Lord teach you. But as the Lord teaches us, as the Lord strengthens our faith, make sure that we don't go in our own way. We don't try and do it our own way, but we do it God's way, so that His will is ultimately accomplished and He's glorified. Let's pray.